Welcome back to Duskwall. As always, thank you so much for joining us. If you missed it, we were able to unlock the Descent into Midnight bonus episode thanks to very generous donations from our audience. It's available on our feed now, so go check it out if you haven't yet. And if you haven't left us a review, now is a great time. Whenever you are listening to this episode, it's the best time for a review. Next, Josie is going to tell us about this month's featured charity.
Southerners on New Ground, or just SONG for short, is an intersectional queer liberation organization working to advocate for LGBTQ+ rights in the southern United States. They work to empower queer people, especially those who are immigrants or people of color, against often hostile governments and communities. I always hate when people joke about kicking out the southern states or saying they lack education or something, because there's a lot of marginalized people living in those states too, and they're working to survive some of the most hostile environments for them. And a lot of that comes down to gerrymandered Republican governments and stuff like that. I have a lot of trans friends in the South, especially, and I worry about them getting adequate medical care and being able to change their name and stuff like that. So please consider donating or becoming a member of SONG if you're able to. Thanks.
It has been a difficult and frightening start to the new year, to say the very least. Tomorrow is the inauguration of a new president here in the U.S., and I'll admit, after January 6th, I'm pretty afraid of what might happen. The forces of white supremacy have been empowered and emboldened over the last 4 years, but their roots run all the way back to the founding of this country. I'm not going to say this isn't what America is, because this is exactly what it is. A nation built on stolen land and stolen lives. But we can be better. We can't undo the past, but we can work together to build a better future for everyone. It's going to take organizing in our communities and continuing to contact our representatives. The work isn't over just because Biden will be president and we have a Democratic majority in Congress. The work is changing, but it still has to be done. So we're going to do what we can. Now then, let's get started, shall we? The Magpies are standing in an alley in Charter Hall. The satisfaction and triumph of a score well done immediately vanishing in the face of the now repaired hull, Ojal, standing in front of them, arm blades deployed. Ojal has just demanded that the puzzle toy that belonged to her in life, that Myra claimed as the centerpiece of the ritual, needed to free her spirit from this hull. And yeah, she's going to start trying to kill you all, so you're starting in a desperate position.
Great.
Okay.
So, have at it.
Ideas?
Minx is going to... Minx has some stuff to say.
Okay.
Wait, you don't need to listen to her anymore, right? We have your thing.
Unfortunately, not how it works.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because we have it doesn't mean we know how to use it, Minx.
Well, I know how to use it. Rather, Myra knows how to use it. I have no idea. What does...
Yeah, we're going to figure that out.
Use it.
I feel like I'm going to have to get close and or immobilize her to make this work.
Yeah, so basically what's going to happen here, Minna, is that I have in the Blades in the Dark book open to the page on how to do rituals. And you can, I will give you this choice. Myra being the person that she is, I think it is reasonable that if you have the load available, that she would have brought the stuff she needed to do this ritual with her. That's going to be, you're going to have to take arcane implements and then basically spend another point of load on extra stuff.
I have enough load for that.
Okay. You can then decide if, like, you want to just try and do this ritual while Blair and Minx hold her off, or if the three of you want to work together to incapacitate her and then do the ritual.
I feel like we might be better off splitting our efforts.
Yeah. the only thing we have to do is make sure the ritual happens. And hopefully nobody gets hurt in the process, but we can't promise that.
Well, that's what resistance rolls are for. Or armor.
Yep. But I think that'd be the one thing we always forget.
Yep.
In that case, I think Minx just says, do it, do it, do it. And we'll draw her sword and not try to, like, active. She's going to be on the defensive, but try and keep Ojal occupied.
Okay. Wow. Well, Myra works. Okay. Blair, do you think you're going to be backing up Minx or helping Myra?
Probably backing up Minx. Ojal's kind of a two-person job.
Yeah,
at least
minimum.
A two-person job.
Yeah. And yeah, let's start with Minx and Blair as they are moving to defend Myra while she sets up this ritual. How do you want to go about doing that?
Well, Minx is just going to try and deflect any arm blade strikes and try to quip to keep her attention. You know, we could free you. You don't need to keep doing this.
Yeah. I mean, she does not seem to be listening, taking in your words. She is going to swing at you with her blades. So I think that it'll probably be skirmish because you're still fighting. Desperate position, reduced effect.
Okay. what's my harm look like? My harm is good. Yeah, I'm just going to roll skirmish here. Got a 6.
Okay, so yeah, I think she is, it's tough because she is Ojal's hull frame is a humanoid form, but she was not built with sort of human physical limitations. So she is able to move her limbs and her body in ways that a human can't. Mm-hmm. And you really only trained to fight humans. So it's hard and you are instantly kind of, I think, the reduced effect is that you hold your own, you don't get hurt, but she does push you back a few steps just right off the bat. So far, you're okay.
Now, Ojal, this won't be any fun if we don't have any witty repartee.
I think the response you get, and she doesn't speak out loud, you just hear this kind of faintly echoey in your head, kind of transmitted through the ghost field, it seems, is just, shut up and die. And each of those words is punctuated by a blade swing.
I'm very bad at both those things.
Blair.
Yo. Trying to think. So while Minx is on the defensive and has her distracted, I want to actually try and, like, make some progress to, like, if not make the hull take some damage, at the very least, you know, try to trap her down.
Okay.
I think I'm trying to see what on my weapon sheet would help with that. I mean,
let's take a look at gear.
I'm thinking, like, unusual weapon, if I mark that off, and maybe if I had, like, some kind of whip or chain and I just try to rope her.
I kind of love the idea of a length of chain that's like, because you're in like a back alley.
Yeah.
And it's just something that like, you just, it's sitting out there.
Oh, and I just grab it?
And
I
you
like
just
that.
Grab it, yeah. Yeah. I think a length of chain would, yeah, you can okay, absolutely mark cool. unusual weapon and have a few feet of chain that you can try and whip around her legs.
Okay. And this will probably be skirmish, right?
Yep. Desperate reduced.
Okay. A whole one dice for me.
Would you like to push yourself or get a devil's bargain?
No, I already rolled. I got a 3. I'm not good at fighting.
All right, so 3. It's the worst outcome.
Oh, no.
I think what happens is, Blair, you like you wind up with this chain. You're kind of doing the, like, you know, spinning one end of it to get it going, and you wind whip it out. And Ojal, like, holding Minx off still with one of her blades, whips the other one around, and the chain, like, wraps around her arm, and she yanks and pulls you in, and as she pulls you, she swings her sword around and basically runs you through on it. You're taking level 3 harm.
Can I protect?
You can.
Thank you.
Okay.
I would like to not be, like, absolutely skewered
here. Because I have this bodyguard move that I constantly forget about.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah.
So in this case, I just get +1d to my resistance roll.
Okay, let me see. Protect. You step in to face a consequence that one of your teammates would otherwise face. You suffer it instead of them. Yeah, so tell me, what does that look like for you, Minx? You see Blair being yanked in towards this raised sword. And that does mean that the level 3 harm is going to hit you, Minx. So
yeah, what is going on, Minx?
So she's yanking with one arm and stabbing with the other, or stabbing with the same arm?
I think stabbing with the same arm. I think I like that visual better.
I think my defense is I strike like in the joint of her other arm to pull her back. But that means the arm she was going to stab Blair through gets to wheel around and strike at me.
Yeah, yeah. So in that case, Minx.
So I'm like spinning her, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Minx, you're going to take level 3 harm.
Is there anything I can do to lower that?
No. Minx has transferred the harm to herself.
Uh-huh.
And so.
And I think I would like to use. Do I want to use the rest of my load on armor? Because armor only applies to this hit, right?
Yes, yeah.
I've got a 5d6 here. I'm just going to try and dodge it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So resist it.
That's a 6.
6. Okay. Oof. So you don't take any stress. It's going to knock it down to level 2 harm.
Uh-huh.
So you're still like, I think instead of it, you know, being a sword straight through your gut, it's a gash. Pretty deep one. Hurts a lot along your side. But... You know, there's a lot of blood on that Umbra Hunter's uniform, so you're down one. And
yeah, but they're dark. Who's going to notice the stains?
Yeah, yeah. It will not be immediately obvious.
Yeah.
This potentially gives Minx the opportunity to do the, like, hiding the wound thing until she collapses.
Yeah, I think her other hand is... I think her other hand is on top of the wound, and she's like...
Yeah.
Stay picking on someone your own size. Blair's very small.
Oh. So while that is transpiring, Myra.
Hello.
You had spent a lot of time doing a lot of research on how to unbind a soul from the hull it's attached to. So we are going to walk through the ritual that you learned in doing that. As I was reading this, normally rituals are supposed to be done during downtime, but eh. This is more fun.
Do it in the middle of a fight.
That is my
instead.
Ultimate rule. Yeah. Listen, my ultimate rule is make the choice that's the most fun. So we know what the ritual does. The question that you were sort of pondering is, how is it weird?
It requires a physical connection with the hull.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a way to make the physical connection a little
I'm trying to think of something that isn't blood magic. Weird.
You need to kiss the hull. Only true love's kiss can
no.
I mean, it's kind of interesting to think about, like, that maybe it requires, like, actual compassion for the hull. I don't know if that would be
Or,
useful,
like, you need
though.
To open your soul up to it, too?
Ooh. Yeah. I think that it requires... vulnerability in some way. And I think that what you read, Myra, mostly referred to physical vulnerability, you know, not approaching with weapons or armor, but mm-hmm. there was some implication that emotional vulnerability, metaphorically opening your soul, or maybe literally, depending on how you want to do things in the ghost field, is required too. So it's a physical connection, but also, yeah, I think an emotional openness or connection as well.
Yeah.
So what is Myra kind of doing currently to set up for the ritual?
What if there's like a specially treated cord that you tie into a complicated knot and then you cut the knot?
Ooh. Okay, yeah, I like that. That kind of is like starting the ritual.
I do a lot of expressing magic as, like, fibercraft in this show, and I didn't do it intentionally, but it seems to always be the most, like, apt metaphor.
Yeah. Well, even, I know when I was editing for this last, Kim did that too.
Yeah.
With the ward that Blair kind mm-hmm. of transferred. Kim described it as, like, untangling a snarl. Yeah, that's cool. So I think that you take out from your arcane implements this cord that I think has been treated with like Quicksilver and Electroplasm and maybe has little like charms with runes tied to each end. And you're sitting there like quickly but carefully weaving it into a complex knot. And I think to get this set up correctly is going to require some kind of a roll.
Probably a tune, right?
A tune or possibly finesse.
Same role for both, so hey.
All right. And for you, it's going to be risky because you are not immediately directly threatened.
Hey, that's a six.
Okay. Yeah, you, I think, yeah, you get this knot tied with all of the correct, you know, order of cord going into itself. And then how do you think that, like, cutting it looks? Like, what is Myra... How does she do that?
She has a knife.
Yep, just...
Yeah. I guess I have to mark a blade or two now.
Yes, you do. So I think that as soon as the knot is cut, this, like, thrum goes out through the ghost field. And Ojal's attention, like, arms are still fending off Minx, but her head snaps to look at Myra. So, let's go back to Minx and Blair.
Hey.
What's up? How's it going?
Peachy.
Let's see here.
Yeah.
I'm not only trying to think of an action, I'm trying to think of an action I can quip or pun about.
Well, I can give you more time while I do something. I could...
struggle is real.
I could give my baby a gun, even though it may not work.
Yeah, give the baby a gun.
Okay, I'm going to give my baby a gun. And I'm going to roll...
I want to remind you, because I just looked at your character sheet.
Yes.
That you all took this, and this is going to be extremely relevant. You took Uncanny Preparation last time that the crew advanced. Twice per session during a desperate action, improve your effect or position.
Oh.
Okay.
Describe a flashback. So basically, it gives you two free flashbacks to get out of desperate or...
Oh, that's
nice.
Desperate
reduced. Yeah. I was looking at this. I'm like, is there anything else that you all have, like, in terms of gear? And then I saw that and was like, I need to remind them immediately.
Okay. So.
Yeah. What Blair, what you doing? You're drawing a gun?
Yeah. Because what else is she going to do?
And also just the mental image of Blair with a gun is very funny to me.
She's used guns a lot throughout the show.
She has, but it's still funny. It's a... Small girl with a gun.
Are you going to use regular bullets or your electroplasmic?
I should probably use electroplasmic, right?
It'll bump you up to standard effect rather than reduced. It'll still be desperate.
Okay, so I'll use that. I'll use electroplasmic bullets, and then if I were to use uncanny preparation, or... Oh, this is only twice per session. Okay, so we should save that. I could use a devil's bargain for an extra dice, though. What does that look like?
Yeah, through sheer... bad luck or maybe exposure to all of the occult stuff that you have on you personally, Blair, half of your electroplasmic bullets have kind of lost their charge. So instead of having six, you only have three.
Oh, it's kind of like keeping a magnet near your phone.
Yeah. Blair just radiates an occult energy that just fried three of these bullets.
I accept that. That's fair.
Okay. Minx and Myra have six shots apiece. Blair only has three and is about to use one.
All right, let's go.
So, yeah, this will be desperate standard.
Okay, that's a six.
Okay, so you take a shot at Ojal, and I think you fire the shot just as she's, like, winding an arm up to swing down on Minx, and so you get a clear shot at kind of the gap in that joint.
Nice.
And this electroplasmic bullet goes in, and she kind of, like, twitches and falls back a step from Minx while she's, like, it's clearly taking her a second to kind of rally and recover herself. So I am going to start a clock that you will like.
Oh,
it's basically the clock to defeat Ojal.
We don't get many clocks that we like.
You really don't. So, Ojal incapacitated, 1 out of 8.
Yeah, eat that!
Yeah, you got a couple seconds of breathing room with Ojal having fallen back.
Okay.
Huh. So, here's the thing. I want to try and disable one of her arms.
Okay.
Like, either sever it or just make it non-functional.
Okay.
I have a description for what I want to do, but I want to describe it after we figure this out.
Yeah, yeah.
So, is it safe to say that Ojal counts as a small gang?
Yes.
Okay.
yes.
So, I do want to take out her arm. I don't know if that would be skirmish or wreck.
Oh, interesting. If you use your sword to, like, kind of jam it into the joints and sever cables and disable her arm that way, that'll be skirmish. Uh-huh. If you are hacking at the arm or just trying to bodily rip it off, that'll be wreck.
I wanna remove it.
Okay, so it'll be wreck.
Okay, but I am going to push myself using not to be trifled with to engage her without any reduction in effect.
Okay.
And then I kind of want to use uncanny preparation to boost my effect up further.
Okay, because so right now, before uncanny preparation, you are at desperate standard.
Desperate standard. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So with uncanny preparation, it will be desperate greater?
Correct.
Okay. Then I'm going to do that. Because of not to be trifled with, I also get the additional die.
Yes. And you're doing this as wreck?
Yes.
Okay. I hope this works. It sounds cool.
I got a 5.
Okay.
Nice.
So you do it, but there's a consequence.
Right. So what I was thinking. So,
yeah. Tell me what it looks like when you do this, and then I'll tell you the consequence.
She was bringing an arm down at me, right? So I think Minx just sort of idly sidesteps and says, let's give this a shot. Then just kind of presses the arm to the alley wall with her body, right? The uncanny preparation is we get a brief shot of, oh, it looked like she was holding her wound shut, but that's actually where her gun is.
Nice.
So I'm marking off an ectoplasmic bullet pistol to whip that out and just fire it right up into the elbow joint, point blank.
Okay.
And severing it like that.
Yeah. So there's this a second loud shot and the sound of basically exploding metal. And I think we get a shot of Ojal's forearm with blade sticking out of it, skittering across the cobblestones.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got a 5, so there's a consequence. And the consequence is there have been 2 gunshots fired in Charter Hall in rapid succession. Charter Hall's a nice neighborhood. Uh-huh. They don't fire guns here. So we are going to start. Blue coats arrive.
Mm-hmm.
2 out of 4.
Wow. Okay.
You're in a nice part of town. So, Amira, you are continuing to work. The next set of questions are actually for me to answer. What must Myra do to perform the ritual, and what is its price? I'm basically going to tell you the next step in the ritual and the price that Myra has to pay for this. So, let me see here. I got to figure out the magnitude of this. You're going to have to take 4 points of stress.
Oof.
And level 2 harm. Basically, just the harm is kind of that opening yourself up, which is kind of the next part of this ritual, is you basically have to do something that Myra really doesn't want to do, I think, because it's reaching into the ghost field and opening up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which mm-hmm. is, that's how you get possessed.
Mm-hmm. Been a while since Myra did this on purpose.
Yes, but that is the thing that you have to do, and it's going to give you level 2 harm that you can't resist.
What's the harm?
The harm, I think, is it's just kind of...
Vulnerable.
Yeah, vulnerable or anxiety.
Oh my god, yes, anxiety.
However you want to... Yeah. However you want to frame it.
Me constantly carrying a level 2 harm anxiety.
Look at it. The 2020 anxiety.
Mood. Just so you know, that 4 stress puts me 1 stress away from another trauma.
Oh my god.
Yeesh.
I don't think I'm going to make you roll for this. I think as long as you do it and take the harm, it just happens. But what is it kind of look like or feel like? Like, what's going on with Myra as she is kind of doing this next part of the ritual?
I think she's, like, kneeling on the ground as she completes the next step of the ritual. Like, she has to, like, do that and, like, close her eyes and, like, figure out how to relax and open up in that way.
Which would be hard under ideal circumstances, but while your two best friends are fighting a killbot 10 feet away.
So, yeah, we've got the world's most stressful meditation happening.
Yeah. And I think you're also holding the puzzle toy in your hands as you're doing this. All right. Back to our combat team. Ojal is down an arm.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. You still have a lot of... Oh, wait, I need to update that clock, because taking off her arm is going to have upped the clock. Did you do it with greater effect?
Yes, greater effect.
Yes, okay. So the Ojal incapacitated clock is now at 3 out of 8.
Okie dokie.
So, yeah, Minx, Blair, what do you want to do to continue working on...
I think we should try and go for another limb.
Yeah, the other arm sounds good.
Yeah.
You've got that chain around it, right?
No, that
you
failed.
The chain fell, but you still have access to the chain. Like, you didn't lose it.
Do you want to try something with it, Josie?
Yeah.
Okay, what do you have in mind?
If you can pull her arm taut or, like, throw her off balance, I can just try and strike through the elbow again.
Yeah, okay. What would that be?
I think it's going to be a setup action for Blair.
Okay.
And then if you succeed on it, Minx will get either, you know, depending on what you want, Minx, either plus one effect or improved position.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I rolling for the setup action?
Probably skirmish again. It is going to continue to be desperate reduced.
Okay.
So if you want to do anything to bump that up.
Devil's bargain to change the effect?
Yeah. You're going to take level 2 harm no matter what, because she's just going to get a hit in on you.
Okay.
All right. So it'll be desperate standard.
4.
4. Okay. You do it, which means that Minx will get the benefits of your setup action. But you take level 2 harm, and there's an additional consequence. So I think the harm is, as you are, like, kind of moving to get the chain around her arm, she, still trying to hold Minx off with her remaining arm, like, lunges forward and basically jams the ragged, sparking stump of her upper arm.
Mm-hmm.
Into your chest, and so you get electrocuted and a little bit stabbed, because there's, like, sharp metal and electricity, and it's just a bad feeling. So that's the level 2 harm.
Is that 2 slots of level 2 harm, or just 1?
Just 1.
Okay.
That's from the Devil's Bargain. Now I'm figuring out the consequence for the fact that you got a 4.
Yeah.
Serious complication occurs. The blue coats are at the end of the alley.
Oh, just what we need.
So, yeah, that blue coat arrive clock is at 4 out of 4. There's a squadron of them that have just reached the end of the alley and are shouting. They haven't recognized all of you as the magpies. They haven't necessarily clocked the fact that you're fighting a hull. They're going to work that out pretty soon, but that's the situation. But that said, Minx, you now can go about removing the other arm. You can have improved effect or improved position.
I'm going to have improved effect.
Okay. So you're going to be desperate standard.
Okay. I think I'm just going to go with that.
Okay. Sounds good.
And can this one be skirmish, or is this one still wreck?
Nope, you can do skirmish. It just means, like, again, the arm will be disabled, but not necessarily detached.
Yeah, I think this one I'm wheeling around with I'm lashing out with my sword and cutting it at the joint.
So desperate, standard, skirmish.
6.
Okay. So, yeah, you know, Blair yanks the chain taut and it jerks her arm out and you just jam the blade right into the elbow joint, and there's a shower of sparks, and then when kind of both you and Blair let go, the arm falls limply to her side. So that is going to move our incapacitation clock to 5 out of 8. Myra.
Yes.
The last question that I have for you is, What new belief or fear does knowledge of this ritual and its attendant occult forces instill in you? So basically, what does Myra learn from doing this that is going to either change her understanding of the world or give her a new fear?
Well, because like my first instinct when you said new belief or fear was that she'd just be afraid that Odril would be able to hitch a ride somehow, even if it wasn't right now. But I don't think that's quite the intent of the question.
Yeah, no, this is you have learned something about the way the world works by doing this ritual. And it changes Myra in some way.
That it's not as hard to break a soul away from the physical thing it inhabits as she would hope.
Yeah, I like that. So Myra, you've been holding this little puzzle toy in your hands, and you can feel it sort of vibrating a little bit, and there's a faint, like, electroplasmic blue glow to it. And you know that, like, basically, if you can get this in physical contact with the crystal in the heart of this creature, of this hull, that will basically slam the soul out of it. So you can either go in, try and help your friends finish incapacitating her, or you can go in and try to just, you know, shove your hand into Odril's chest, which is going to be hard. You also have blue coats down the alley.
I feel like we gotta go with as fast as possible. Also, I'm reckless, so.
Yeah, that's true.
I think she's just gonna charge the fuck in.
All right. Love it. This is gonna be desperate.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's gonna have to be an attune roll.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are doing some occult shit.
What does the devil's bargain look like?
Can I assist?
Or I'll take an assist.
So yes, Minx, you can assist.
That's a six.
Ooh.
Okay. So tell me what this looks like as you rush up on Odral with this.
So I think the assist is that Minx has distracted Odral with, you know, parrying her sword, basically.
Yeah.
And I think Myra just does a running leap onto her back and presses the puzzle box where it needs to be. I think there's, like, a moment where she's, like, trying desperately to cling on and to, you know, get the puzzle box in the right spot where it's just like, please, 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 please.
And so I think we see, you know, Odral flailing around, Myra clinging to her, and, you know, her hand shoved underneath kind of the chest plate. And then, I don't, you know, none of you can hear it, but there's this very faint clink when it makes contact, and Odral freezes. And then earlier, when Myra had sort of begun this ritual, there had been kind of a faint thrum in the ghost field. This is more like a sonic boom in the ghost field. There's no physical effect. Nothing looks different in the you know, world around you. But all of you just hear this agonized scream in your heads. And you can hear in the houses around you a few other people cry out. The blue coats at the end of the alley all suddenly kind of, you know, shout and clutch their heads. And the hull collapses. All three of you feel very cold. And if you look into the ghost field, you can see Odral's spirit, which doesn't look exactly the way that she did in life. Apparently being a hull had kind of an impact on her soul's understanding of itself. It mostly looks the way Odral did, but there are pieces of her, like one of her arms has that, you know, bladed forearm. She always had, you know, very short cropped hair. I think now it's kind of this like smooth transition from her face into like a metal plate over the top of her head. There's just sort of these metallic pieces lingering in her spirit now. And she looks angry. She looks very, very pissed off. The hull is no longer actively trying to kill you. The blue coats are, for the moment, distracted. You have a couple seconds here in which to figure out your next move.
Anyone got smoke bombs?
You actually do have two smoke bombs in your inventory.
Let's do a smoke bomb and run.
Myra, do you want me to jar her up at all so you can, like, have closure, or...
I think she needs to... Oh, that's true. Maybe just to make sure she gets released, not where Salia will catch her?
That's a good point. Yeah, I can attempt to try and jar her up.
Yeah.
And since it's the end of the score, I'll push myself for it, too. Even though I kind of don't need to, but... So I'm going to roll a tune for this.
Yeah, let me think about what this is in terms of position and effect. I think it's going to be risky greater, because you've got your fine spirit mask and whatnot that you're using.
Okay, 1/6 out of that.
All right, that's all you need. You just need one. So I think what you all see is Ojal, looking furious, like starts to lunge for Myra, and then Blair just whoop, scoops her into a jar. But Myra, like, in that moment, you're not exactly sure what she was planning on doing, but she did not mean you well. And figuring that out, you know, I don't know if you will get a chance to figure that out. I don't know if she'll be willing to talk to you, but she, yeah.
I don't think Myra would be comfortable. Frankly, I don't think Myra would be comfortable being there when she is released. She just wants to make sure she's released safely where Salia can't get her.
Fair enough.
So the Bluecoats start to get their senses back, and one of them shouts, "It's the magpies! Get them!"
Smoke bomb.
Yeah, go ahead and chuck a smoke bomb. I think if y'all want to do like a group prowl to get away.
I'm down with that.
Okay.
I only have 2 stress left.
As do I.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I only have 1 left.
If we do a group action, one of us is taking a trauma no matter what.
Not necessarily. If it's Blair or Minx takes the lead, one of them is risking trauma if the other two roll a 3. Like, 2 people would have to roll a 3 or below. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can also each roll independently, but there is going to have to be a roll to get away.
Do you feel better about rolling independently?
Yeah, like, frankly, just from a drama perspective, this is kind of awkward timing to take a trauma. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just do it individually.
Okay. I will say, with Minx throwing a smoke bomb, that's going to give everybody greater effect.
Okay.
Let me mark down that you used, so you now have 1 left.
That's a 5 for me.
4 from me.
6 from me.
Okay.
Cool beans.
All right, so Minx, you throw the smoke bomb and run. And I think because you are closest to kind of the center of where the smoke cloud starts, when the bullets begin flying, none of them hit you. Blair and Myra, you both get grazed by flying bullets. So you are each going to take, let's see, this is risky. So it's going to be level 2 harm as you both get shot mildly. Yeesh.
That's fine. It's what it is.
But all 3 of you are able to run with the jar containing Ojal. And my question is, where do you run to? Do you run towards the clinic?
That's probably...
Because that's actually going to be close. That's... Seek's clinic is going to be closer than home.
Also,
right
some
now,
of us got shot.
Because her clinic is in Charter Hall.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah. Maybe let's go there.
Shot, stabbed. Okay. So you take off running, and you all know Charter Hall pretty well at this point. You're able to sort of weave through additional alleys and make your way around to the back door of the clinic. You're let in. Seek's is not there at the moment. She doesn't work every night. She works some nights, but not this one. But you are ushered in. I think that in the employee break room, there's little portraits of the 3 of you, and there's a note from Seeks that's like, heal, you know, treat without question, without charge.
Oh.
So everybody knows that you are to be taken care of. So you get brought in, and you know, some of the physicers are taking care of you. You've been there for like 15, 20 minutes, and another, like, one of the nurses comes up and is like, sorry to disturb you, but there's a Clave looking for you.
Oh,
We can tell her that you're not here if...
No, she can come in.
All right. So, yeah, she nods and heads back up front and then comes back with Clave, who looks... frazzled, to put it mildly. And it looks like she's winded. She kind of has a hand pressed to her side, like she's got a stitch in her side. Her hair's kind of mussed. It looks like she just grabbed the closest coat that she could find and then sprinted over here. Like the buttons aren't really done up properly. And she's just like, did you get her?
We did.
She's right here. And Blair shows the jar.
Frankly, that's... took fewer cuts than I was expecting to take.
After the last time that you all faced her, Salia didn't get her put together quite as solidly. Whew. I think one of the, like, nurses just gently steers her into a chair and is just like, sit down, please. Bring you some tea. Salia knows that something happened with Ojal. But without Ojal, she's a lot less protected. She looks at Blair and kind of nods at the jar. Is like, I think she deserves some revenge. Can I take her?
Wait. I think Blair's going to look at Myra as if, like, asking for permission because she doesn't know what Myra wants to do with her yet.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to take Ojal, and I'm going to go to Salia. I'm going to open up the jar, and I'm going to take out a gun. And we're going to see what happens. You can come with us if you want.
You're aiming to get Salia possessed, or...?
I want her dead. I don't particularly care what becomes of her body after that. If Ojal wants to move in, that's fine. But...
I mean...
I'm not safe as long as she's alive. Neither are the three of you, neither are anybody that's ever had any dealings with you.
Yes, but if this happens, is Ojal going to leave us alone, or more specifically, Myra alone?
How do we know Ojal has any will left? Not all ghosts are people.
And who's to say that, you know, Salia is prepared to trap her again, and then we'll just back to square one?
Clave makes a face, but nods. Well, I'm still going to go find her with a gun. Myra, you're welcome to join me if you'd like. I figure you've earned vengeance as much as I have.
I don't want revenge. I just want to be free of her.
Yes, well, we need to do something with her.
I can take care of it. I think Clave will stand up. I know where she's going to be, and she won't be expecting it from me. I'll send word to that bar of yours when it's done, and if you don't hear from me, well, just hope Salia doesn't have the funds to do this again. Kind of nods at Ojal in a jar.
Clave.
Uh-huh?
What's going to happen to her organization once you've removed the head?
What do you think would have happened to the four of us if she died when we were 18? They're going to eat each other alive. The only one left who could take control is Wester, and, well, she makes a face of his odds of being able to do that. She clearly doesn't think he's got the capability. And Myra, you know he doesn't.
As long as there's nobody poised to take over, we don't need another one.
She made very sure that nobody could ever challenge her. She didn't want an heir.
Clave, if it collapses, you've more than proven yourself. I don't want to speak for Myra, but you would have a place connected to us if you wanted.
I'll see how things look after. If you'll excuse me, I need to go commit a murder.
Have fun.
Happy hunting.
And she heads out, and the physicers are clearly struggling under the weight of Seek's order to not ask questions, but they abide. They follow the rule, patch you up at some point. Kind of, I think, as you all are starting to get ready to leave, that same nurse comes back and mentions that there's blue coats around and that you might want to wait for a little bit. So you just hang out in a back room and have tea for an hour, and then head home when the coast is clear. Okay, so let's do our downtime scenes. It's pretty early in the morning by the time the magpies make their way back to the safety of the nest. There's a lot of cleaning up, disposing of bloodied clothes, etc. But eventually, you're all safe to head out into the city to deal with the stress of everything that happened. And where do we see Minx head off to?
Minx has gotten all dolled up today. She's in a blue kind of like sundress, right? with a wide-brimmed hat. And she's humming as she exits the door. She's just going to like touch base with people, socialize a little bit, maybe have like, I don't know, tea with Nerix after. She's just trying to have a normal fucking day today.
Yeah. So just like stop it in on like to see Rigney and probably Briggs and...
Yep.
Yeah, I like that. So Minx heads off for her social day. And then I think a little while later, we see Blair leave the nest and start heading towards the lightning barrier.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going?
It's going fine, especially since this is like very routine for her. And I think as she's walking, she's also muttering to the jar in her hands, just kind of like, you know, talking to Ojal a bit to prepare for, you know, what's going to happen when she releases her. Just kind of like, you know, muttering reassurances as she, you know, opens up, you know, a gap in the barrier and slips her way out.
Yeah, I think you can tell that she's still unhappy. The jar keeps kind of like... You keep feeling it like it shift, or like something is like tapping on the inside occasionally. Like she's still pretty mad and is not enjoying being in a jar.
Well, yeah. Nobody really does.
Fight all of my rage.
But I mean, admittedly, like she went from being trapped in a hull.
Yeah.
Had like 3 seconds of freedom and then got stuffed into a jar.
She's about to get freedom again, just where you won't get curtailed in the end.
So what does it look like when you set her free?
I think there's a little bit of hesitation, but not much. Blair is just, you know, kind of bracing herself and wincing a little bit, but she's still, you know, opening the jar and holding it outstretched and waiting for this spirit to just whoosh out of there.
And she does, sort of with an enraged howl, and you can see that Ojal kind of, like, whips around and is clearly looking for someone.
She's not here. It's just us.
It's her fault that I'm dead.
I know. And it's not right. For what it's worth, we are sorry.
What am I supposed to do now?
I think Blair just kind of gestures to the outside, and she's like,
it's not much, but it's freedom.
I think she kind of surveys the area, and some of the anger seems to fade a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
She's quiet for a little while, and then just says, well, better late than never, I suppose, and we'll kind of start drifting off.
Is there anything, do you want me to, like, leave a message for her, or?
I think Ojal kind of stops and turns back and just says, she knows what she did. She has to live with it.
Fair enough.
And I think Ojal starts to move away again and then stops and looks back at you and says, do you still have it?
Have what?
The thing Salia took from me.
Yeah. Myra saved it.
And she's going to reach into her pocket and offer it back to Ojal.
Yeah, so she is incorporeal, but spirits can have some kind of poltergeisty tendencies. So it lifts out of your hand and drifts over to Ojal, and you can kind of see the little interlocked rings starting to shift around, and she nods once and says, thanks. And then we'll drift off into the Deathlands with that faint clacking sound, the metal rings clicking together. Fading.
Oh, I really like the idea now that, like, a couple decades down the line, there's going to be like an urban legend about like a metal ghost with a clacking noise.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, and from there we go to Myra. Myra, I think you checked in with Rigney for messages. Probably straight away, since Clave said she was going to send word once the deed was done.
Yes.
And you do, there is a note from Clave. It's very short, and it just is a time and platform number in Gaddock Rail Station, and that's about it.
All right. Kyra's gonna go. She's gonna tell the others. If they want to come, they can.
I might sit this one out, and I feel like it's nice to have it be a one-on-one scene.
This is mostly in the spirit of not running off alone to potentially risky meetings.
Yeah. Oh, just in case, if I don't come back, I've been kidnapped, I'm on a train.
Okie dokie.
So you get to the rail station, and it's, you know, pretty bustling. It's always a busy place. And you head to the platform and spot Clave pretty quickly. She stands out in a crowd just because of that, you know, white blonde hair, which now is pulled back, you know, very neatly. It's clear that she has had a chance to kind of put herself together. She's got a couple bags at her feet and like a satchel over her shoulder. And she's just kind of idly watching the trains as people are boarding and exiting.
You're leaving?
Oh, yeah, I wasn't sure if you were going to make it before I did. It'll be easier to start over somewhere new.
I take it worked.
She reaches into a pocket and takes out a brooch that Sadia always wore and will hold it out to you.
You can keep your trophy, but thank you.
Tucks it away. Figured it'd be better to have proof. But yeah, it's done, and I made sure the Spirit Wardens got tipped off right away, so she won't come back.
That's good.
Well, she taught us to be thorough.
She taught us that you're not safe even once you're dead.
Yeah, she taught us a lot, huh?
I hope you do find whatever it is you want out there.
Yeah, me too. I haven't ever really had a chance to think about it. But right now, I want to get on a train and go until they call a stop that sounds like somewhere I want to be. We'll see where I end up.
Well, just a heads up, there's apparently another of them in Imperial City.
Ugh. Thanks for the warning. So not Imperial City, then.
White Hollow's nice, though.
I didn't get drafted.
Not to stay, but...
Yeah, we'll see. Thanks to all of you for doing this. I know it was mostly in your self-interest to get rid of her, too, but I wouldn't have been able to do it by myself.
I think Minx deserves the thanks, really. I wouldn't have trusted you.
I don't blame you for that. Well, tell her I said thanks, then.
I will.
I think there's a bell that clangs and a nearby train whistles. And she looks up and is like, well, that's me. Hoist her bags and give you a nod.
Safe travels, Clave.
Thanks. And, well, I'd tell you to stay safe, but it doesn't seem to be exactly your thing anymore, huh?
I'll try and stay alive.
Yeah. Stay alive, the three of you.
We'll try.
And she will head to the train. And Myra, you can watch as it pulls out from the station and carries her away.
Thanks for listening. The Magpies will be back in 2 weeks. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at magpies_pod and visit our Patreon at patreon.com/magpiespodcast. The Magpies Podcast is GM'd and produced by Rhee. Follow me on Twitter at Rhiannon42. And check out rpgskillcheck.net for my copy editing and accessibility freelance site. Blair Culhane is played by Kim Kogut. Follow her on Twitter at Kim Deanna Jones. Minx is played by Josie. Follow her on Twitter at Dragon Girl Josie. And watch her art streams at picarto.tv/DragonGirlJosie. Myra Keel is played by Minna. Follow her on Twitter at MinaMinar. The opening and closing theme music is from Trio for Piano, Violin, and Viola by Kevin MacLeod, and is used under a Creative Commons license. The Blades in the Dark roleplay system is the creation of John Harper and is published by Evil Hat Productions.
Next, I'd like to thank our resplendent Patreon backers. Dario, thank you.
Cora Cole. Thank you. Kim just... I don't know why that got me so hard, but it sure did.
Oh. And I even like to hazard an image description for how Kim just killed Rhee.
Yeah, Kim just posted a GIF from Toy Story of Woody standing there, having just asked Buzz Lightyear to give him a hand, and Buzz Lightyear has chucked his disembodied arm at him. And it's very good. Perfect timing, 10 out of 10.
Thank you.
Holy shit, that just... Well done.